All right. Hello again. This week, I started watching the show Young Sheldon. And it's a TV show based on a character from The Big Bang Theory, if you've heard of that. But it's a character who is a scientist, and he's very literal. Being correct is very important to him. Some social niceties don't always occur to him. And the show covers his childhood of having an incredibly high IQ. Like, he's a 9-year-old in grade 9 or 10 in the first season. And growing up in Texas with a mother who is very religious, and he himself does not believe in God. And there are a few episodes that involve the family going to church and Sheldon interrupting the message. He raises his hand with a question or a comment, and he's usually pointing out a faulty assumption or something like that. It's played up for humor, obviously. It's a comedy show. But I found myself personally really loving the scenes. And I just love that it represented the variety of people that may be in church on a Sunday morning. The questions that people have. And to have an actual character just like raising his hand or having his objections and being able to stay it, I just loved it. And it's my hope. Oh, I think I went too far. Is that showing something? No. There we go. So it's my hope and belief that Grand Valley is meant to be a safe place for anyone who's exploring faith. And while I appreciate that we don't regularly have someone interrupting when I'm speaking because it might throw the vibe, it would definitely keep me on my toes every morning. I believe that this church has long held that no matter where someone is in their faith journey, this is a safe place for them to come and explore and have questions. Grand Valley started in the 1980s with a group of families that felt called to create a church that removed the barriers that would prevent those who were uncomfortable going to a normal church and provide them with a place where they would be able to meet God and hear the message of the good news of Jesus. Sharing the gospel, that good news, was literally Grand Valley's reason for existing. A lot of time and effort went into providing a Sunday morning experience that would enable people from any walk of life to meet Jesus. And in fact, we are part of a family of churches called the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And the more I learned about the beginning of Grand Valley and this desire to share Jesus with those who would not normally hear the message, it seems very much like it's a part of the Alliance legacy. And sharing Jesus is still a big part of who we are today. Our mission here at Grand Valley is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we believe that meeting Jesus matters. Grand Valley was founded on the importance of that value and how to remove the obstacles that might get in the way of someone being able to meet Jesus. The thing is, the world and Brandon is very different than it was 40 years ago. Some of the objections that the church was trying to overcome when this church began were boring, irrelevant messages and really boring music, and probably some like theological or those type of objections as well. And Grand Valley responded by having really dynamic services that had messages that would be relevant. And nowadays, I think the objections or the obstacles that are in between people and meeting Jesus are much more likely to include stories of rampant hypocrisy that people have heard or experienced in churches. Concerns about mismanagement of funds or abuse occurring in churches, and then that being dismissed or swept under the rug. Concerns about the church's history of colonization. Concerns about there being no hate like Christian love, which is a frequent phrase, and beliefs or experiences being judged or having legitimate needs ignored or dismissed at the same time as being handed spiritual platitudes. The world is way less concerned about what we can do on a Sunday morning and way more concerned about who we are and what our character is. But that begs the question, who are we? What is our character? Not just as individuals, but as a church. What are we meant to be like? And this morning I want to explore that question. We're going to start by looking at Romans 12. Romans is a book that is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. And in the 12th chapter, he says this: just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. And if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I believe this metaphor of the church being a body, of us all, the reality of us all being given different gifts, it works on multiple levels. It works as the individual church. So this church that we are in right now, each of you has a gift that God has given you. But it also works in the church of the city. I believe that all of the churches here in Brandon, they all have a gift. They all have a reason that God has put them here and a way that he wants to move in Brandon through them. And it also works through denominations. There are different families and bodies of churches in our country and in the world, and I believe that God has a reason for them and a way that he wants to move through them. And I believe in every situation. Oh, I forgot to switch my thing as I was reading. Sorry, guys. In every situation, we can ask, what gift has God given me that speaks to this situation? What gift has he given to others? How can I honor them and their gifts? A couple of months ago, our board got together for a day of prayer and discussion and asked the question of what we believed God was calling Grand Valley to be now, today. At the end of the day, we developed this image of connection to God, connection to each other, and connection to our community. And through that, we came up with our vision is to be a community pursuing connection with God, each other, and the greater community of Westman and beyond. Pursuing a connection with God, it's about having a deeper life, a life in this kingdom of God that I have spoken of a few times in the past few months. This different sort of approach to the world, this life that we are able to have, this spiritual life in that kingdom that we are able to have through what Jesus did by coming into the world and not just coming into the world, but dying for us and then also being raised to life. Pursuing connection with God is about living life with God. One of the first series I can remember hearing and I think participating with in this church many years ago was about the postures that we have towards God, and that what God wants is for us to live our life with him, not living for him, just serving constantly and just feeling like we have to do something to appease him, not living under feeling like he is oppressing us, and not just feeling like he is just giving us everything that we want in life and living life from him, but living with him. Pursuing a deeper connection with God for ourselves is what we want, but we also want to be facilitating the spaces, opportunities, and relationships to help others develop their connection with him as well. We believe that a part of what we are supposed to be doing is pursuing connection with each other. Right now, we live in the most connected and the loneliest time in history. The pandemic has made some changes, I believe, in our approach to community. I have found that people are less willing to commit their time to numerous things, and they want to be much more intentional with their time and their energy. At the same time, we are valuing the connections that we do make when we are out, the family, the friends, all of that. And I also think that through the pandemic, there's been a breaking down of walls. I think because so many people were isolated for so long, they started thinking about what are the connections that I do want when I am able to meet with people. And I've seen a little bit of that here on Sunday morning. I mentioned in the email that was sent out yesterday, I tend to run to the back to try and say goodbye to people who might be ducking out quickly because they have plans or they're new. And I usually catch a few people, and then there's this really awkward, very long period of time when no one is leaving. And I tend to come around the corner and walk in and see everyone visiting with each other and people not in a rush. And I love to see that. And I think that is us pursuing a little bit of that connection that we missed and that connection that God does want us to have. In John, the Gospel of John, it is recorded that Jesus said that he was giving us a new commandment to love each other. Just as he loved us, we should love each other. He said, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." And I believe this is so important, and I believe it means all Christians, not just the ones in the room, not just the ones that we are closest to. And I have a story about a conversation that I had many years ago. I think it was at least 20 years ago. It's one of those conversations, have you ever been like haunted by a conversation that you had because years later you realized how it was completely different than what you'd believe now? And so I have this conversation that I had with my cousin many years ago. And I grew up going to church a lot. He did not grow up going to church a lot, and he was just at that age starting to explore some more things. I think he was going to a young adult group, and I was going to Bible college, and he started asking me questions about different denominations, and he didn't understand the differences between them. To him, it was like, well, if you're Christian, you're Christian. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was something I was taught. I don't know if it was something I picked up. But I was so much more aware of our denominational differences than our similarities. So much so that it seemed weird to me that he was lumping us all together without understanding how we were different. But in hindsight, the reason I get embarrassed about the way that I was so, like, not even understanding is we are supposed to be unified by our connection in Christ. And here was someone that I knew who had been in church way less, and he's like, well, aren't you guys all connected? And I was thinking, oh, no, we're too different. We're not that. I mean, they believe this. And I was like, it wasn't, I think it was like Baptist and something else. And I was like, well, no, I'm Pentecostal. I'm not Baptist. And how are you? But we are serving Christ. And I have seen in so many more people after the pandemic a desire to not care about differences, to pursue what God has for us, and to work together. And it has been amazing to see. And I hope that this is a beautiful thing that God brings out of the pandemic. I hope that we are going to be able to see more of this type of love that Paul spoke about in Romans, where he said, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. In this passage, he's talking about not just loving those who are easy to love or those who are exactly like us, but loving each other in this building and beyond this building, loving the people who belong to him. I think there are two ways in which we pursue, are able to do this love. The first is the way that we are transformed when we connect with God, the way we are transformed when we learn more about the love that he has for us. And the second way that we are able to pursue this is our conscious decisions to put to death our selfishness and love each other in the way that Jesus lived out as an example for us. Because loving isn't easy. Loving requires being vulnerable. It requires not being jealous or seeking our own advancement, and it involves making allowance for each other's faults. It doesn't mean that we allow injustice or dismiss harm or ignore the vulnerable. But it means that we love. We see people and we serve them. And one of the ways that we do that here is by choosing to commit to each other. And we do that in being partners. For the past month and a bit, we have been inviting people to renew or sign up for partnership here. We've been just reminding everyone who considers Grand Valley their church home to make this commitment. And there's a couple of reasons we've been calling for this. One is it's just one of the legal requirements of Revenue Canada is that we have a membership so that we are responsible to those who give and that we serve. But there's also because there's things like our AGM that will be happening this evening and our partners are able to vote. And when our partners vote, it allows for God to direct us with the spiritual direction through this body, through who we are, to direct us through those who are committed to this church. And so some of the things that we vote on when we have an AGM, we vote on the budget, how we are going to spend the money that comes in. We vote on who will be our elders, who will be leading and making decisions for the next year. And we vote on other important decisions that may need a vote, like bylaws and some of those businessy things. And being a partner is a way to commit to the work that Jesus is doing in our church. When we call people to be partners, we ask them to commit to support and pray for our mission and vision as a church. We ask them to use their spiritual gifts and talents to serve one another. Oh, it seems very dark. And to give regularly and generously to financially support the mission of the church. So in supporting and praying for the mission and vision, I would invite you, I know many of you have signed up to be partners, please pray that we would be able to lead people into a relationship with Jesus as we are trying to figure out how to do that in this age where there are so many more complicated obstacles for people to overcome. I truly believe living into this requires us to pray and seek God here. I ask you to pray for our vision that we would be able to pursue connection with God and with each other and figure out how to spur each other on to even more connection with God and our community. And I invite you to pursue both the mission and vision in your own way. Ask God, God, how do you want me to pursue this? How can I be partnering with this group of people who are doing this? Not just supporting programs, but living into this and living into this together with my fellow partners. The other commitment that we ask for people to make is that they will use their spiritual gifts and talents to serve one another. As in that section in Romans 12 that I read, but also 1 Corinthians 12, another letter that Paul wrote, he spoke about spiritual gifts there as well. And he said, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the Spirit gives a gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from God, from the Spirit of God, or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what was said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, this list and the one in Romans, they're not an exhaustive list, but the combination of the two passages show us that these lists are giving us a glimpse of how God gives gifts to other people so that together we form a body that serves each other. I cannot be all things. None of you can be all things. but together we can be exactly who God wants us to be. And as we pursue using our spiritual gifts and our talents that God has given us, we are living in to more of what he has for us. And the third commitment that we ask is that people give regularly and generously. Unfortunately, running a church does cost money. Now, we are not paying a pastor salary right now, but we do have to pay bills and work towards more financial security. I believe our board is being very responsible in cutting the budget to be as lean as possible to go towards these things and looking at ways to increase income. But your donations are making a huge difference. So I want to thank all of you who do give. We have been in the black every month in 2023. And after 2022, that is a good thing that we can celebrate. And we are able to do that because of those who have partnered in this way. Partnership is what we make of it. So we have all of these ways that we ask you to commit, to partner with us. But in general, when you partner with us, you're committing to be a part of this church in the good time and the hard times. It's a way that we are able to make ourselves accountable to each other. Yes, we are pursuing this together. We want to do this together. But one of the ways our partnership is basically what you make of it is our partnership is renewed on a yearly basis. So every year we ask people, are you willing to commit? For the next 12 months, are you going to pursue this with us? Are you going to come on this journey? I feel like it's great for those who have a fear of commitment or just want to try it out. Be like, can I live into this for 12 months? Can I see what happens after I pursue this? When I was younger, used to hate even signing a cell phone contract. But deciding to live into something for a year, I think it's a great way to see what happens when you join with others and decide to pursue what God may have for us. One of the most important jobs that our partners have is voting on our elders, and we will be doing that tonight. Elders are part of the gifts that God gives the church. Leaders who have leadership ability. And we will be voting. In 1 Corinthians 12, there's another list there of the different gifts, and apostles are mentioned, and prophets, and teachers, but it also includes those who have the gift of leadership. Tonight, we will be voting on our elders. And just some background on why we have elders. Again, it's one of those things that to be a charity in Canada, you do need to have a board of directors. But there is a history in the Old Testament of having elders who served on local councils. They would meet at the gate of their city. Which was the place where leaders gathered and settled disputes. They would discuss property settlements, and they would judge cases. And elders were even present in the council of the early Israelite kings. But in the New Testament, the chief qualifications for an elder were demonstrated in their readiness to serve others in a calling from the Holy Spirit. The functions of an elder, it was centered on taking care of the church. And the elders were responsible for caring for the people in the sense of administration and pastoral care. And usually the people in the roles had gifts of administration or leadership. And here at Grand Valley, as being a part of the Alliance, the Board of Elders serve with the senior pastor in the oversight of the church. And the board provides, I don't remember if I made it so this would come up. Sorry, that's so dark. Feel like I'm pressing a button for no reason. But I can see it at the back. It's nice and bright back there if you guys want to glance back there. But the board provides spiritual direction about the vision and mission and other decisions that we make about our spiritual direction. They provide financial direction. They approve the budget before it comes to a vote to our partners. They review the financial reports throughout the year. And they can approve special spending between meetings if it's necessary, if there's some like emergency expense that did not fit in the budget. It is within their purview because we vote for them and we are entrusting them with the care of the church. They are able to say, okay, this expense is needed. We are going to spend that. They also provide administrative direction. So policies and bylaws, those very boring things. I'm not a big policy fan. They work on those, and for bylaws, they would bring them to the partners so that the partners can vote on them. Just some little more. I know this is not very exciting, but sometimes because there are so many different ways that churches are run, it is helpful to know how this one is run. So here at Grand Valley, the Board of Elders does have the authority to fill vacancies between annual meetings. We do want our partners to be voting in our elders, but if someone has to leave, like this past year, one of our elders, Joel, had to move away, and then we were able to fill the vacancy and have Nikki Von Reason join. They hold regular meetings for prayer and business. They can provide reports to the church membership so that you guys can know what is going on. They can establish other committees and teams to fulfill different purposes of the church. Right now, we don't have a pastor. Sometime in the future, we will be looking for a pastor, and they will make a search committee, people who that will be their job, that they will figure out the job description and interviewing people and that kind of thing. They also approve the applicants for partnership and consider the qualifications that the alliance has for what is required for someone to be a partner in the church. And that's the boring stuff. But the not boring stuff is how grateful I am for the board that we have had in the past 6 months that I have been on staff here. They have demonstrated such wisdom and sensitivity to God, sensitivity to others, and an incredible care for this church. Each of them. Sean, I'm not going to call you up because don't want to embarrass people, but Sean Birmingham will be stepping down. And I know for a fact that we are going to miss him. Sean, I have found your experience and your opinion to be invaluable. You have served as board chair, and you have led well. So thank you. I know that the burden was heavier than you anticipated. But on behalf of everyone here, I want to thank you for how well you have served this church. You've done well. That's a little bit about who we are. We believe that we exist to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. When the elders have met together and thought, what does that look like? Are we supposed to look like? What is our character? It's that we believe that we should be pursuing connection with God and with each other and with our community. And we have our partners. We have each of us here, whether you're a partner or just a regular attender. I know that God has given you gifts. I don't know what they look like. I love that the lists in Romans and Corinthians are so varied. It could be that you have a gift for encouragement, and that's what you're supposed to pursue. When you see people, you encourage them. It could be that you do have a gift of leadership. It could be that you are a wonderful musician. There is so much. But we are a group of people who commit to each other and say, we are going to serve one another. And then we do have elders who we entrust to lead us as a church, to go to God in prayer and to listen to him and see the needs of the church and lead us. As I close, I want to read more from 1 Corinthians 12. I've been occasionally, as we've been closing in the last few months, I've been reading blessings. Instead of reading a blessing, I'm going to read this passage, because I feel like it does encompass a bit of the question about who we are and who we are to be. It's 1 Corinthians, starting in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 29. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the ability of healing? Have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. As we close, I'm going to pray a short prayer. Lord, this morning I ask that you reveal the depths and heights of your love for us so that we may also love and serve each other in marvelous ways. Amen. I hope to see you tonight.